All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 10. Judges chapter 10 for the message this morning. As Pastor Rick mentioned a moment ago, we have Brother Lewis Howe and his wife Kim here. And we're going to nail their shoes to the floor. And no going back. Anyway, the Lord has gotten them here safely. And we praise the Lord for that. And so I want you folks to get to know them. And one good way you could do that's to have them over to your house for dinner some evening, and I know they'd appreciate that. Just get to know them a little bit. I think that you're going to find they'll fit in just perfectly around here. All right, Judges chapter 10. I want to read just a couple of verses beginning in verse 15. Verse 15, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. All right, in verse 15, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods," notice small g, "they put away the strange gods from among them, and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Now, I want you to go back for just a moment to verse 16. And I'm primarily going to draw my message from verse 15 and 16. And I want to show you a little principle, a little truth that I trust will be a blessing and a help to you today. Let's pray real quick and ask the Lord to bless and then the message. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reminder today of what a blessed land we live in. We are free. Our freedoms are somewhat tenuous, but Father, we are still a free people. And so I ask you to help us to rejoice in the understanding that we live in the greatest nation that has ever been upon the face of this earth. And Father, I pray now that you will bless the Word of God as it is preached. I pray you'll help me as I speak. And I pray you'll bless and help our folks as they listen. And may the Lord be exalted here today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. After Joshua brought the children of Israel into the land, the Bible tells us that the land of Canaan was settled and it was divided into various regions where each of the 12 tribes would establish their homeland, their part of the Holy Land. Each tribe was designated a portion of the land, and it was theirs to live and to dwell. It was theirs to farm and to govern and to protect from encroaching enemies. Sadly, the nation as a whole, though, did not follow God. What happened was, when they went into the land, God told them to drive out the Canaanites. But they did not do that. Instead, they got control, and then they just lived among them. And what happened was what normally happens. The Canaanites rubbed off on the Israelites, and before very long at all, Israel became Canaan. You remember in the book of Hosea, that was one of the points that the prophet Hosea made when he said that that Israel has become Canaan. In other words, they were the people of Israel were behaving and living and acting like the Canaanites. You say, well, what was wrong with that? Well, the Canaanites did not follow the God of the Bible. The Canaanites followed the false gods of this world. Gods like Baal, gods like Molech, gods like Ashtaroth, gods like the Egyptian sun god. And they instead of following God, became just like the Canaanites. Now, during this time in Israel's history, the nation of Israel went through a cycle of disobedience and then discipline and then of deliverance. And they followed that cycle over and over and over for hundreds of years before God finally said, that's enough. And he sent the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar with his mighty army, and they breached the walls of the city, went inside Jerusalem and stole everything they could get their hands on, and they knocked down the walls of the city. And they tore down houses and tore roofs off just to afflict and to punish the children of Israel. But one of the worst things they did was they ravaged the temple. They went inside the temple of God and took everything that they could get their hands on. They took all the gold and the silver. They took it all except for the Ark of the Covenant. Jeremiah removed the Ark of the Covenant before they came in. Now, it's a good thing he did, although the Ark has not been seen publicly since. All right? Do you realize that when the Lord Jesus was here 2,000 years ago upon this earth, do you realize that there was no Ark of the Covenant in the house of the Lord? But there wasn't. There wasn't. And all of that was because of God's judgment and wrath that was poured out upon the nation of Israel. And they went constantly through this cycle of disobedience. And then God would discipline them, and then that would be followed by their deliverance. And that just kept going for centuries until Babylon came and ravaged the nation. Now, here's what happened after Joshua. They entered into what is referred to as the period of the judges. And what that meant was God would call a person, most of the time a man, but a couple of them were women, and God would call these folks to judge the people. God would use men to judge the people. And when that happened, you could see that cycle being uncovered. There was first disobedience. In other words, the children of Israel would go after the gods of the Canaanites. And that was followed by discipline. God would chasten his people. And then in the midst of the chastening, they would realize what was happening and would repent of their sin. And when they repented, then God would deliver them. And things would go well for a little while. And then the next thing you know, they're right back into worshiping the false gods again. And the whole thing started over. Now, folks, listen. Listen. In verse 16, we see we see a little time between the disobedience of the children of Israel and the deliverance of the children of Israel. Now, what happened in that in-between time? Discipline. They were disciplined because of their disobedience. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. You say, well, I don't ever get discipline from God. Well, maybe you better check to see if you're in the family. You know, that might be something to think about. Maybe you ought to make sure you're in the family. But you see, in verse 16, here comes the discipline. Now look at it. It said, here's what they would do. They would put away the strange gods from among them. And then they would serve the Lord. And then God's soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. You see, folks, that chastening was not pleasant. Chastening never is pleasant, is it? Of course not. It's not pleasant at all. So let's think about in this 16th verse, just a few aspects about repentance that we see that we can read in this verse. First of all, let's think about the proof of their repentance. The proof of their repentance. Now, look at your Bible. If you look at the first part of this 16th verse, you will notice that it says, and they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. So what happened? Well, they repented. They put away the strange gods. Would you not be interested in knowing how much heartache we might have spared ourselves in life had only we been obedient from day one, from the day we got saved, to the will of God for our lives? Isn't it going to be interesting to get to heaven and just find out what we missed in the Christian life simply because we would not be obedient to the things of God? I have had times of chastening from the Lord, and I've gotten alone and prayed and got on my knees and said, Lord, I just don't understand. What do I need to do here? Where is this coming from? And actually, that can be the loneliest feeling that you'll ever have, where it's just you and God, and you are trying to get the answer from the Lord, and the Lord is making you wait a little bit to chasten you even more, to drive you to a matter of a broken heart and a repentant spirit. And then God will suddenly show you what he wants you to see. But you see, the Lord will always show us what the disobedience is, giving us a chance to get things right with Him. That's just how God works. And folks, God wants us to be obedient to Him. The proof of their repentance was twofold. I mean, it showed that their repentance was genuine, and not just them going through the motions of having a repentant heart. Two things. First of all, we see the matter of separation was involved. Look at your Bible. Look at it again. I haven't preached in 2 weeks. And my voice is letting me know it's not happy. All right, look at verse 16. And they put away the strange gods from among them. What is that? That's repentance. That's repentance. You see, folks, I don't think any of us are ignorant to what God wants from us. I really don't think we are. I don't think any of us are ignorant to what the Lord wants. You see, if you're saved, there is the Holy Spirit of God who lives within you. And whenever, as a believer, we get outside of God's will for our lives, that is when the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives. And we know what we are supposed to be doing as Christians. Let's be honest about that. We know we're supposed to be in church. We know that we're supposed to be serving. If you look at the next line, it says that they put away the strange gods, but then they what? Serve the Lord. We know what we're supposed to be doing. But if we don't do what we know we're supposed to be doing, what is that? That's sin. Plain and simple, that's sin. You see, man is a religious being by nature. The Bible says in Genesis that God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There is within each and every one of us a God awareness. It's called your conscience. And God gives each of us that little feeling that is deep within our souls that it makes us aware of God. I know you have experienced that. We've all experienced that. All over the world, every society, every tribe, every people, a group has had a religious system of some kind. It's within man's nature to be aware of God. Your God is either the God of the Bible, or else your God is a false God, like one of the gods the Canaanites worshipped. But everybody has a God to whom you bow. It's just the nature of the world. It's how God made things. Jehovah God or Baal. Jehovah God or Molech. Jehovah God or Ashtaroth. Jehovah God or the Egyptian Amun-Re, the sun god. But you see, folks, everybody has some god to whom you bow. You worship somebody. It's just the way it is. And the gods of this world are imitations of the God of heaven. Don't you find it strange? You'll go out to Alaska, or you'll go up into Canada, and you'll see these totem poles. And isn't it amazing how when you see the being that is on the totem pole, that's their God. And what do you notice about their God? Got great big mouths. Right? Isn't that weird, though? Because they don't speak. You can stand there and look at that totem pole and say, well, dude, how you doing? Nothing. You ever notice this? Great big eyes. But they don't see anything. Great big ears. Kind of like me, you know. Great big ears. But they don't hear anything. You see, we always want God to see everything, know everything, hear everything, be able to speak the truth. And that's how they designed their gods. It's like a little boy sitting at the table and he's drawing while mom's cooking dinner. And he says, he finishes drawing, says, Mom, does anybody know what God looks like? And the mom says, no, honey, nobody knows what God looks like. And he holds up his little piece of paper with his drawing, stick drawing. And he says, well, they will now. She looked at the paper and up at the top it said, God. Well, they will now. Folks, we need to realize that man is a religious being. We were designed that way. And so they followed all these false gods. The children of Israel knew the God of Israel was the one true God. But they forsook the one true God, and they followed the false gods of these heathen nations. But when God judged them, they genuinely repented of their sin. And that's why God blessed and delivered them from their divine judgment. What is repentance? Well, here's what it is. It's a change of mind. It's a change of mind. You see, I was going one direction. And then I got saved. And when I got saved, I turned around and I said, I'm not going that direction anymore. I'm going to go this direction. That's repentance. That's genuine repentance. It's a change of mind. When you get saved, your course changes. Now, I didn't change, you know, I can't snap my fingers anymore. Arthritis is so bad. There it is. I forgot that wasn't on. It wasn't immediate, but I did change. And when I started changing, My family and my friends, they all said, what's wrong with you? I said, well, there's nothing wrong with me. What do you mean, what's wrong with me? I'm the same guy. Something's different. I didn't know what it was. I know now what it was. But I did not know then what it was. And what it was that the Lord changed my heart. And I started walking a different direction. That's what repentance is, folks. Now, secondly, not only do we see separation involved, but secondly, we see that the matter of service was involved. You see, they separated from the gods of the world. And then what happened was they started serving the true God. That's what you did when you got saved. That's what I did. Instead of going out on Friday night and bowing to the gods of the world, I turned around. I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to yoke up with the God of heaven. I'd rather have the God of heaven on my side than the gods of this world. So I chose the Lord. And you know, it's worked out pretty good for me. You know, it really has. We went down to see Karen's sister. She is the one whose son is missing. And there was an event down there being held last Monday night. And so we wanted to support her and Kevin in that event for missing people. And I was surprised there were 55 missing people in Horry County, South Carolina. 55. Unbelievable, isn't it? Say, well, my teenager wants to go to the beach for a senior trip. You allow that, you're crazy. You better realize this is not the same world that you grew up in. All right, so our separation is followed, though, by us doing the right thing. And Karen's sister, she's the one that always, she's a smart aleck. Oh, my goodness, she is so much fun to be around. She's crazy. And she always looks at me and says, what are you going to be when you grow up? You see, folks, we separate from evil, but that's not enough. Separation must be accompanied by seeking that which is right. Right. Then secondly, let's consider the product of repentance. The product. The product, look at this. I want you to see this. It says, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. And his soul. You know, when God looks down upon us and sees us chafing under the discipline, that grieves his heart. God doesn't want to discipline us. He doesn't want us to go through the Christian life just constantly getting whooped. You know, the old spiritual spanking. Yeah. And God looks down and sees us. You know, that's, you can ask even believers, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, I'm not doing very good. Oh, what's the matter? Well, you don't have enough time to sit and listen to all my problems. Well, it's not the time that's the problem. It's the desire that's the problem. All right? I got plenty of time, but it's the desire that's the problem. Yeah. And you know that's true, don't you? Man, we are on the winning side, folks. We are the victor, not the victim. We are the ones who are going to win the battle. So let's not look at life as though it's this great big tremendous burden. It doesn't have to be. Look at life as the opportunity for you to do something for God and to get God in on what you're doing. Man, what a difference that makes. I was thinking about it this week, and I realized, just looking at our church family, and some of the happiest people that we have in the Church of the Open Door are those who serve. You're serving. And what's that show? That shows that you have a heart for God. but that also gets to the place where God looks at your service and God says, I'm going to bless you. And he does. And boy, when God blesses, that puts a smile on your face, does it not? Oh, there's nothing like serving the Lord. God has the emotion of pity upon us. David said, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. If you've watched your little one trying to do something, and after a little while of constant failure, you stepped up and said, let me help you, and then all of a sudden you see the light go on in their eyes. Years ago, I'd come home from the office, and Josh was about 3, and he'd be standing in the door, and we had a screen door, and he'd be standing inside that screen door with a wiffle ball and a bat in his hand. And Karen would say, he's been standing there for 1.5 hours. And so we'd go out in the backyard, and he didn't know if he was left-handed or right-handed. So he would get up there left-handed and just, man, I mean, swing like he is trying to kill the ball. And he couldn't hit it because he was swinging so hard. And he'd get frustrated, so then he'd switch around on the right side, and he'd do the same thing over again. And finally, in his frustration, I said, can I help you learn how to bat? And he said, sure, which shocked me. So I went over and I said, now, do you want to bat with facing this way or this way? He said, this way. I said, all right, that's left. You want to bat left-handed? Yes. So he got up there, and I said, now choke up on that bat. You don't have to hold it down here on the end. Choke up on a little bit. You can swing it quicker. Oh. And I could see the lights coming on. So I stepped back and I pitched him the first one. And man, I said, swing level. So what'd he do? Swung level. That ball came at my face like a rocket. And I just barely got out of the way of it. Oh, he cackled laughing. He thought that was hilarious. So I took the next one and I pitched it to him. Wham! Same thing. Only whoop. Uh-oh, what happened? Did I break it? I don't do what? I need to learn how to swing, don't I? Sorry about that, folks. So what happened was, he just kept hitting them back at me and laughing. And so I told him, I said, son, you're going to hit me with that ball and it's going to hurt. So then he quit hitting it at my head and was trying to hit it at my body. Well, it's a little harder to get out of the way with the body. And man, he was just bouncing that thing off of me and laughing his head off. So he's been this little evil rat for a long time. But when I took the time to show him, that's all it took. That's all it took. God takes the time to show us when we're in trouble. Yeah, that chastisement, it's so he can show you the way. So let God help you, folks. He loves you. He doesn't want to see you struggling. He wants to see you victorious. So let him help you. Let him help you. The point is, folks, God is a gracious and merciful God. Let's let God bless and use us for His glory. Let's bow our heads, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your wonderful word, and I pray that You will bless this to our hearts today. Father, help us to understand and to realize that it is Your desire that we serve You. And when we don't, then when we're disobedient and we bow to the false gods of this world, then You have to get our attention. And Father, that discipline sometimes is a little stressful. It's sometimes a little hard to deal with. But Lord, You know what You're doing. Help us to be obedient to the discipline. Help us to look to You and trust You and repent and then start serving You the way we ought to. Bless Your word to our hearts today, Father. I pray that we've all been encouraged and helped to serve You better. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.